Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Is Dan Bongino going to leave the FBI over the Epstein files? And the Department of Homeland Security now investigating child labor law violations in California with illegal immigrants. All that is straight ahead for you. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're going to be live for our next live show, August 15th. Mark your calendar now and book your July midweek stay to get those resort credits. But joining me now, and it's great to have him, especially on the heels of President Trump's visit to Texas and what the president was speaking about, Steve Milloy, Senior Energy and Environmental Legal Institute Fellow, former President Trump EPA transition team member. And you can find Steve on X. His account is great. It's Junk Science and junkscience.com. Hey, Steve, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, Rich, thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So this horrific flood happens in Texas. Obviously, many people lose their lives. A tragic event. Democrats wasted about 4 seconds until they started trying to blame Trump for it. Then climate change. You had that fake science guy, Bill Nye, on TV blaming both Trump and climate change. You were quickly out there, of course, debunking all this for us. So why don't you do that for us now, if you would?
Yeah, sure. So this is an unspeakable tragedy. I don't even know how to describe it. Of course, the left has jumped on it, trying to, as you mentioned, blame Trump for the failure of adequate warning. They've also tried to drag in climate change and the climate hoax, which is falling apart, melting as we speak. But the thing to note about this is these events have happened in this area before. Deadly flash flooding happened in 1987. Flash flooding. This is known as Flash Flood Alley, just because of the nature of the topography and, you know, it gets these tropical storms, heavy rains. And so this happens. It actually happened to a greater extent in July of 1869. July seems to be the month when these things strike. They're not predictable. Climate alarmists would like to say, this was caused by climate change. Well, of course, if these guys knew anything about climate science, they would be able to predict this kind of event, but they can't do that. So we know they're lying. You mentioned Bill Nye. Bill Nye was on CNN talking about, we wouldn't have these events if we would just stop using fossil fuels. Of course, if we stop using fossil fuels, all of us would be dead because there would be no way to have a society or eat or anything like that. Fossil fuels we depend on entirely for our existence. So it's sad to see. It's a form of I call climate ambulance chasing. Every time there's a tragic natural disaster, you have these left-wing activists who have nothing better to do than to try to advance their twisted, left-wing agenda. And so they try to blame, whether it's a hurricane or a tornado or flash flooding or heat wave, what have you, try to blame tragedy on fossil fuels and big oil, et cetera.
No, I'd like that term a lot. Climate change ambulance chasers. I like that term. I just want to make sure that it sticks in my head. That's a good one. That's good.
Yeah. So there's no there to this. The warning systems, the National Weather Service gave the warnings, issued the warnings as soon as it could. Yeah. Now, there's some unfortunate gap or problem between the National Weather Service and, like a Camp Mystic. there's only a few hours. It's, of course, hard to do. There's controversy now whether Texas should have had like sirens there. And, you know, I understand from the press conference that there's going to be hearings on this and an investigation, and they will no doubt take steps to prevent this in the future. It's too late for the tragedy that happened. But it's got nothing to do with President Trump. I mean, the national and the budget cuts. The National Weather Service was actually had plenty of staff. They delivered the warnings the way they normally do in time. And there was just this tragic breakdown. So,
yeah. And the National Weather Service alerts were out there. They tried to blame Doge cuts on that. That was debunked very quickly. But there is something that you talked about, and that is that there was a warning system that may have seemed expensive at one point, a $1 million warning system that could have prevented some or all the tragic, but it was never built, but they spent a lot of the money. And what is all that about? And then they used some of that money, I guess, on windmills. Is that right?
Well, the news reports are that there was a siren system, but it cost $1 million, for the local government, I guess. And there were also people objecting to it because, you know, who wants sirens going off all the time? And I mean, this is a part of the country where, these things do happen, and people get tired of being warned and scared all the time. But there's I'm thinking that it occurred to me, like, okay, so it's $1 million. Let's just say that, you know, the county wanted it, cost $1 million, but there wasn't $1 million. Well, you know, the state of Texas has spent like $36 billion subsidizing wind and solar, and all for no reason. I mean, it's not like, you know, wind and solar are not preventing flash flooding. They're not having any effect on the environment or climate at all, other than to crap it up. So, you know, Texas has plenty of money, and maybe what they need to do, if people don't like sirens, maybe there needs to be something else. But they're definitely need, you know, in these areas that are prone to natural disasters, whether it's, you know, the hill country in Texas or the coast of Florida or the Gulf Coast, wherever these storms hit, you know, Tornado Alley, there needs to be effective warning systems. And, you know, government needs to be spending its resources and attention developing, building those systems versus wasting money on windmills and solar panels and EVs and utility battery, which is accomplishing nothing at all. It's just a waste of money.
That number you just mentioned, Steve Malloy, that sounds like something California would spend, not a red state like Texas.
Well, Texas is actually the number one wind state. California's number one solar state. And, you may recall that in February 2021, there was a blast of cold air that hit Texas. The windmills froze. The Texas grid went offline for a while, and hundreds of people died. And you would have thought that would have been a warning call. Warning sign to Texas about the problems of windmills, but no, even though it's a red state, the wind industry has purchased many of the politicians there. And so Texas now, when it during the summer and winter, anytime electricity demand goes up, you know, their sphincters tighten because, you know, they're not sure whether they're going to have enough power to make it through because they're so reliant on wind. And I guess they have a fair amount of solar, too.
How much of that is the oil companies investing in wind and solar to try to get the green lunatics off their backs?
I don't think that the problem with the oil companies, of course, the oil companies have all bought into the climate hoax, right? My opponents keep saying, oh, Stephen, well, you're paid for by the fossil fuel industry and people like you. No, that's not true at all. We're actually the biggest critics of the fossil fuel industry because they defend the climate hoax because, you know, on one hand, you know, they can be politically correct. On the other hand, you know, they can get subsidies. Like, you know, even though we just had the one big beautiful bill, there's still subsidies in there for the oil company for carbon capture and storage. So they are kind of surfing the climate hoax. So I don't know how invested they are in wind and solar. You know, BP, the British company, you know, they tried solar. They had to bail out of solar. They've recently bailed out of wind because it doesn't work. There's plenty of other people, a lot of wind industries that are, based in Texas. I don't know that it's the fossil fuel company, but the problem with the fossil fuel companies is they don't want to push back.
Yeah.
They're afraid to do that, even though our whole society depends on them.
Because the Biden administration was going after them, right? I mean, their Department of Justice and other state departments of justice were suing, attorneys general were suing oil companies for saying that they were lying about climate change, and they're trying to pull the big tobacco on them, right?
Yeah. Well, no, they still are. These lawsuits are going on. I mean, they're trying everything. They want to get sort of Superfund-like laws so that anytime disasters happen, they can just ding oil companies. Or I guess coal companies as well, but mainly oil and gas companies. There's all sorts of litigation going on across the country, from blue states and blue cities, even in a red state, South Carolina. The city of Charleston, which is a blue city, has sued. There's no merit to any of these lawsuits. Eventually, they will all be dismissed because climate, regardless of how you feel about the science, it's inherently political issue. It's not a judicial issue. So the Supreme Court will ultimately dismiss all this. I don't know why it's taking the court so long to really just do that, because several of these cases have been up there, and they could just dismiss and say it's not justiciable. But they haven't done that yet.
Steve Malloy is with us. JunkScience.com is his site. Steve, you were on the EPA transition team. I personally think Lee Zeldin is crushing it so far with his deregulations and everything he's doing. Give us a grade and how you think he's doing.
I think he gets an A+. I mean, he is the most aggressive deregulatory EPA chief ever. I mean, he's probably the only deregulatory EPA chief ever. What he's done so far wasn't even imagined in Trump 1.0. That said, I mean, there's a lot still to do.
Yeah.
We've got to follow through. When Trump won, left town, Biden came in and basically picked up almost from where Obama left off. And persecuted the war on fossil fuels. So I know that the White House and the Office of Management and Budget and EPA are working together to try to make permanent reforms. So fortunately, we've got plenty of time to do that. Hopefully there will be another Republican administration. We can cement some of that. But Administrator Zeldin is doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I mean, on Tuesday, Senator Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania is going to have his energy summit. The president's coming for that. Talk about natural gas and permitting reform and liquid natural gas export facilities and nuclear, and all of it is great. Yeah, in New Jersey, we've got a governor's race. The idiot governor who's there now, Murphy, I mean, he's still trying to bail out the wind industry, which, of course, obviously, we were able to defeat them, at least for now. I mean, the battle is never truly over with these guys. But the offshore wind, I mean, it was a big wind stopping them. But then there's all these attempts to try to bail them out because they lost money. And there were all these attempts to steal money from the ratepayers to pay for all this in the first place. This scam could happen again. I mean, there's a Democrat governor, Democrat in the White House again. They'll push for these things again in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's still plenty of money left from the Inflation Reduction Act. The one big, beautiful bill took out maybe half of the Green New Deal, Green New Scam spending. It's going to be up to President Trump, really, to kill off the rest of the spending administratively. Now, he issued... the bill passed last weekend. On Monday, he issued an executive order to start killing this stuff based on national security reasons, because, wind turbines are going to be a problem for shipping, for air, military and air and sea. So we're going to start looking at these facilities from that perspective, and that's going to be another way to get rid of them. But President Trump, he hates wind. If you get him talking about wind, he will just go on and on about how much he hates it. That said, he did let one wind facility off the coast of New York survive because he's hoping to get some pipelines out of New York Governor Kathy Hochul. I think all these wind things need to go away. All the wind, all the offshore, onshore, the solar farms, none of this stuff, all it's doing is making electricity expensive. It's not improving the environment. It's not improving the climate. It's not improving public health. It doesn't do anything except raise prices and make us more dependent on communist China.
Yeah, one of the things I wish politicians would stop saying, Republicans in particular, is I'm an all-the-above approach guy. I hate that phrase. I hate that. And that means, obviously, I would also include wind and solar as part of my overall energy plan. I think they say it. I think it sounds politically correct, I guess. I don't know why they do it, but...
Yeah, I'm going to give you a new phrase. All of the above is DEI for energy. Okay, this stuff on its own.
I like that, too. That's good. That's two. That's two today we got from you, Steve Milloy. Climate change, ambulance chasers, and all the above is DEI for energy. I like it. I love it.
So, yeah, this stuff has no merit on its own. It cannot survive without taxpayer subsidies. And when you think about it, there's actually two types of subsidies. There's U.S. taxpayer subsidies, which is bad enough. But then it also gets this slave labor subsidy from communist China. You know, all this stuff's made either with slave labor, low wage labor in a country where there are no environmental regulations. You know, environmentalists ought to go to China if they want to clean up the environment because that place is a disaster. So there's, all, you know, you get the communist subsidy, you get the U.S. taxpayer subsidy, and that's the only reason anybody can afford this stuff.
What now? The U.S. is doing something now with rare earth minerals, right? For the first time.
Yeah, there's a publicly traded company. Is MP Materials, which is the stock price has really gone up in the last couple of days. It's got some deal with the U.S. government to in Wyoming to do rare earth mining. You need these open spaces because it's basically strip mining. And also they want to build a facility to process the minerals they get, which is terrific because, you know, if you just do the mining here or wherever you do the mining, you have to ship it to China, to communist China for the processing. Then they process 85% of the rare earths that are, you know, vital for our technology. Hmm. So, you know, we need to mine this stuff here. We need to process it here, refine it, and build stuff here. We can't rely on other countries anymore. This has been a disaster. We, you know, right now, our national security is at dire risk because we are so dependent on communist China. And every windmill, every EV, every solar panel, every utility battery that we buy, build, install just makes us more dependent on communist China. We can't have that.
Yeah, Stephen, you know, the minute you said strip mining, oh, in my mind, I said I could picture the protests. I could picture the protests and people screaming about Native American bones. And right. I mean, you know that that's all going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and they're going to forum shop and they're going to find judges and, you know, maybe they won't try. They won't be able to do the nationwide injunction or whatever, but they'll do something for sure. Yeah. The environmentalists are not going to go away. I mean, you know, the environment has been an extremely successful campaign for the communists in this country. You know, they got almost $1 trillion worth of resources through the Inflation Reduction Act. President Trump and Congress have walked a lot of that back. There's still a lot more to walk back. But these people are not going away. I mean, yeah, we are winning right now, but we have to keep working hard to beat them back because they're not going to take no for an answer. You know, I don't know if you saw this yesterday on CNN. They had they reported on a poll. The American public is not buying environmentalism. It has, you know, the approval rating for environmentalists has not changed in the past 25 years, which we have worked very hard to make sure that, you know, is the case. But
climate change panic's not there. I mean, that was my big takeaway from that is that despite all their efforts, despite Al Gore's movie, the climate change panic is just not there. People are reasonable enough to see through this.
That's right, Rich. But every time there's a disaster, a natural disaster, unavoidable disaster like in Texas, you know, they're going to come back. And it's, you know, heat waves, hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, what have you, snowstorms. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't even make sense, but they don't care.
Steve Milloy, always a pleasure, my man. Keep up the great work and follow Steve on X at Junk Science and check out his website, junkscience.com. Thanks, my friend.
All right, Rich. Thank you.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the real. Rick Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
That's right. Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast.
Right, and a lot more to get to. We have Jamie Dimon now saying Mamdani in New York is a Marxist, not a socialist. Who else has been saying that? We've been saying that. Obviously, he is a Marxist. President Trump said the same thing about him, too. But the fact that Jamie Dimon is saying that is really, really good news, actually. The president said the same thing about Mamdani, too. We have the audio of that. This is President Trump. He had Netanyahu at the White House on Monday, and he said he's a communist. He is. And this is Cut 18.
This is a communist. He's not a socialist. He's a communist. And he said some really bad things about Jewish people. And he said some really bad things about a lot of people. And I think he's going through a little bit of a honeymoon right now, but he might make it. But, you know, it all comes through the White House. He needs the money through the White House. He needs a lot. He's going to behave. He'll behave. He better behave. Otherwise, he's going to have big problems. But it's a philosophy that this country is not ready for, and it never will be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I really do. I think Andrew Cuomo, the LoveGov / nursing home serial killer, I really do think there's a strong chance he wins this race. I think that people are now starting to wake up to the fact that Eric Adams can't. He's got to go, and they're gonna start circling the wagons around Cuomo, and Cuomo can beat him. You look at the numbers with blacks and with Hispanics, and you just get enough people who are afraid of Mamdani to vote for him and the outer boroughs, and yeah, Mamdani wins the white college-educated liberal vote, but the Cuomo can win. I mean, I'm not happy about that from the sense that I think then that he immediately starts running for president in 2028, but at least it'll be good content for the show, no doubt about that, so there's that. Even John Fetterman says Mamdani is not a Democrat. He's a socialist. Again, part of the reason why I take everything John Fetterman says with a grain of salt, and I notice now he's on Fox News like every day. I think he's on more than I am these days. But John Fetterman at one time was also a socialist, running as a socialist, a Bernie Sanders-style Democrat, endorsing Bernie Sanders, campaigning with Bernie Sanders, and now suddenly he's calling out Mamdani for being a socialist. You see why my Fugazi sense is up on Fetterman? I know I'm like the only person in America who seems to think this. Maybe not. Maybe you do, too. We tend to think alike. But maybe I'm the only pundit out there who says this. Because I feel like every time I watch anyone on TV, they're always going on about how John Fetterman, wow, the voice of reason. I'm like, have you not followed this guy's political career? When he ran in 2016, he was Pennsylvania's Bernie Sanders. And if Bernie Sanders had become president, and if Bernie Sanders was president, John Fetterman would be out there echoing everything that Bernie Sanders is saying. If Bernie Sanders had won Pennsylvania, I'm sorry, but I don't think there's any way you can disagree with that. When you look at his political history, this guy changes with the wind. And again, he gets away with it because he's got the goatee and the shorts and the hoodie. And he comes across as, you know, just like this dopey every guy. He's a Harvard educated guy. He comes from money. He's smart. Don't let the shorts and the hoodie fool you. He's very, very intelligent. And the fact that he at one time was telling everybody he was a socialist, and now he's hitting Mamdani for not being a Democrat because he's a socialist. It's like, I'm sorry, Fugazi radar's up again here with Fetterman. Cut 19.
I'm not a voter in New York City, and so I have no dog in that fight. And everything that I've read on him, I don't really agree with virtually any of it politically. So that's just where I'm at as a Democrat. I mean, so he's not even a Democrat, honestly.
Then what were you? Out of curiosity, what is Bernie Sanders, the guy you backed? The guy who campaigned for you. The guy who campaigned for you as far back as, let's go all the way back in the way, way, way back machine to 2022 when Bernie Sanders was out there campaigning for you. What is he out of curiosity. This is why I know that you turn on Fox News, you turn on CNN, and you hear all these people like Scott Jennings and others are like, oh, this Fetterman is so reasonable. No. Sorry, I'm not buying it. Chuck Schumer's very nervous. All Democrats should be nervous about this guy winning because this is the brand. This is the brand of the Democrat Party. If this guy wins in New York City, this isn't Philly. This isn't Chicago. This is New York City. If this guy wins, this is the biggest city in America. This is the city where they have had crazy mayors before, but not to this degree. And he'll suck up all the oxygen in the room because it's also the media capital of the country as well. So here's Chuck Schumer refusing to answer whether or not he's going to back Mandami. Cut 20.
It's been about a month since the New York City mayoral primary. You have yet to endorse a Democratic nominee. What is holding you back, and what will it take for you to get to that place?
I'll be meeting with him soon. Yes.
Some allies of the Democratic nominee for mayor have been threatening as primary challenges against the Jeffries of the Democrats in New York. Does that risk distract Democrats from taking back the House and Senate?
The bottom line is Democrats are united. We are fighting the high costs that American people pay. We are fighting the health care cuts Republicans are making. We are fighting the horrible bill that they just passed. Democrats are united, and we have been far more united, frankly, than the Republicans.
All right. Well, there you go. That's not an answer, by the way. Matt and Justin, are you guys going to go see the new Superman movie?
I probably will see it. I wasn't as hyped about it as you were, but I'll eventually check it out.
I 100% am going to see it.
When?
Hope to this weekend, but I'm definitely going to see it within the next 7 days.
All right. I've now seen it twice. I saw it last night with my buddies Dave and Tom Scopin at Scope Brothers. We go see the superhero movies on the opening night. It's our tradition. I got to tell you, I liked it. I did very, very much. It's not, first of all, it's not woke. I don't know why people are saying it's woke. He's not woke. That's A. B, the word immigrant is not mentioned in the movie, not one time. There's not even any reference to him being an immigrant. There's reference to him being an alien, but he is from another freaking planet, so there's that. There's nothing political about the movie whatsoever. There's no hidden anti-Trump, nothing. It's just a fun summer blockbuster, fun Superman movie. The only thing I'll say about it is that it's a little over the top at points. Like it's definitely not, nothing's ever going to be like the original Christopher Reeve Superman the movie, but it's good. It's really good. It's a fun summer blockbuster movie.
It's a James Gunn movie. I mean, you can see what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to be a little over the top. I expect that from James Gunn.
Yeah, there's aliens. There's all kinds of aliens, and you know, I mean, it's. But there's Superman's not rescuing illegal immigrants from ICE agents or anything like that. Like all the craziness that was being said all week was just pure nonsense. It's fun, and the original Superman music from John Williams is in the movie a lot. They use the Superman anthem, which makes me very happy because I love that. So
it's done well on Rotten Tomatoes. I know you hate Rotten Tomatoes, but I check it religiously before I go see a movie. And 82% from the critics, 95% from the general audience.
There you go. There you go. My buddy Brian Glass, my Marvel DC advisor, was asking me if it's worth going to see in the theaters. I do think it is. I think it's worth seeing on the big screen. We have the seats that vibrate, you know?
Oh, you saw it in 4D?
No, because it wasn't 3D. It was 2D, but the seats move with the action, you know, with the sound.
Oh, that sounds terrible. Why would you do that to yourself?
I didn't know at the time. I didn't realize it. But the seats are shaking every time Superman's crashing into a building.
How can you even eat popcorn at that point?
No, the popcorn goes flying all over the place.
That's terrible.
But it's good. It's fun. It's a fun summer blockbuster, big Superman, big movie. You know what I mean?
Superman's a Philly guy, too, so he's, you got to support the local guys.
Yes, and there's there's the Philadelphia Skylines in the movie.
Yeah, apparently Liberty Place, they put it there as a little ode to David Cornsweat, who's from Philly.
He's from Philly, and apparently, I didn't know this, but Metropolis is in Delaware.
Evidently.
Yeah. One of the old comics back in the day showed showed like a map, and if I remember correctly, I'll have to look for it during the break, but Metropolis is where Wilmington, Delaware is, and Gotham is actually located on the map in my hometown of Bridgeton.
Bridgeton, New Jersey.
Yeah, Bridgeton, New Jersey is Gotham City.
So you're Batman.
Yeah. Quintessentially, I am Bruce Wayne, yes.
Justin's secret identity is as the associate producer of the Zioli Show. But by night, he's out there fighting crime. And still a better Batman than Ben Affleck, by the way. That's right. I think I'd heard that before, too. The original maps showed that. That's fascinating. Wow. All right. Well, there is a road sign with a pointing to Gotham City. So that's tells me that in this new DC universe that they're creating, there will be a new Batman at some point, too. So there's that to look forward to. Hopefully it's not that they can get away from that stupid Robert Pattinson gothic, boring Batman that they made. Did you see that one?
Oh, they are making a sequel to that.
I know, but I want it to be its own. Like, you know how they did the Joker movie, which you probably loved with Joaquin Phoenix?
First one's great. The second one is just horrific.
The first one's not great, and it has nothing to do with the Joker. It's about a crazy guy who dresses up in makeup. They just called it the Joker to make money and get it greenlit by Warner Brothers. Let's be honest.
No, the first one is legitimately good. The second one, I won't defend. They turned it into a weird musical. I hated it. Lady Gaga was in it. There was no redeeming characteristic.
Yeah, the difference is you went to see it. See, that's the difference. We didn't, because we knew better.
I didn't see it theaters. I waited until it was on HBO Max.
Again, that's not the problem. The problem is you watched it.
Correct.
That's the issue here.
I was curious. I didn't believe that it could possibly be as bad as everyone was saying, and sure enough, it was somehow worse.
Well, leave that to be. Yeah, that's its own world, that Joker and that Batman with Robert Pattinson, that weird gothy, emo, whiny, but leave that as its own thing and then make a new one in this James Gunn world that is good. That's what I'm hoping for. And then, you know, you can have some good times. Because the kids like it. Look, it's good with the kids. Take the kids. It's a great way to kill 2 hours on a hot summer day. Believe me, I can tell you that. Here's David Cornsweet talking about the fact that it's in Philly, 26.
You're from Philly, right?
I am.
Okay. I'm from Delaware.
Okay.
Did you notice that Metropolis is in Delaware?
Metropolis is in Delaware, and the skyline of Metropolis, as seen from Lex's, you know, control room, includes Liberty Place from Philadelphia. I think they put that building in as a little nod for me. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, if you spot it, let me know.
There you go. Let him know. I don't know how you let him know, but let him know.
Yeah, shoot Superman a text.
Yeah, text Superman. He also played This or That Philadelphia Edition, so I'm curious about the new Superman's answers on these. Hoagie or cheesesteak, Phillies or Eagles, Sheets or Wawa, Gritty or the Fanatic, Jason Kelce or Allen Iverson, cut 25.
Every time I watch, they lose. It's a terrible blight. Hi, I'm David Cornsweet. This is This or That with people.
Cheesesteak or Hoagie?
Hoagie, just because it's more, you got more options. I love a cheesesteak, but if I had to, you know, Hoagie, you can have a cheesesteak hoagie. So probably hoagie. Sheets or Wawa? I don't know what Sheets is, so Wawa.
Good.
Eagles or Phillies? Eagles. Just because I don't unfortunately have time to watch more than one game a week. So I will watch the Eagles when they're playing. Although I also end up, every time I watch, they lose. It's a terrible blight. To be the one fan that every time they watch, they lose, because it just means that I struggle watching. But Eagles, especially because of their recent success. But I love the Phillies and I love watching them. Abbott Elementary or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Gosh, you couldn't pick two more different shows. Probably It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Rocky or Rocky II. I have never seen Rocky II, so I'll go with Rocky. Gritty or Philly Fanatic. Philly Fanatic. That's just what I grew up with. Jason Kelce or Allen Iverson. That's a tough one. This is really. How do you choose between? They're both people.
Oh, just pick one, for God's sake. Okay, now I want someone to take kryptonite through his heart and end
They're both
this.
Great. Down the Shore or To the Poconos, Down the Shore. Jeet or John? John. It's just too, you just can use it so much more.
Oh, my God. That was painful. All right, now I'm rooting for Lex Luthor to kill him. All right, we'll talk to Dr. Victoria Coates when we get back and find out what she thinks about all that as we continue along the show here today as we keep going. But I do want to tell you, when you go down the shore, and it is down the shore, of course, to Cape May, we'll be there August 15th. Have you booked your summer vacation yet? If not, what are you waiting for? Listen, don't skip making great family memories. Book your getaway at the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel in Cape May. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Book a July midweek stay and save. Stay three nights, get $60 a night in resort credits. Stay five nights, get you $70 a night in resort credits. Seven nights, $80 a night. Use them in Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, or in the gift shop. Book direct with them for the best rates and resort credits. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower. With four ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Just call and asked to speak to my friend Caitlin. She was just named 2025 South Jersey Face of Weddings. She'll help you plan the wedding of your dreams. Call today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com and book your summer stay, or 800-257-8550. Don't miss out on those resort credits, and mark your calendar August 15th for our next live show at my happy place, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right. This walk-up music means only one thing. She's way more Philadelphia than Superman, and she'll definitely know the difference between Sheets and Wawa. She is the vice president of the Davis Institute for Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. She's the former deputy national security advisor to President Donald Trump and the author of the book, Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. She's Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, my friend.
Well, hello, Rich, and hailing from Lancaster, I actually know the difference between Penn Supreme and Turkey Hill.
Wow, that's impressive. I only know Turkey Hill from the ice cream, but...
But no, there used to be, where we have Sheets of Wawa's, we throughout Lancaster County, when I was growing up, had Penn Supremes and Turkey Hills. Those were the little markets.
Interesting. Well, they played This or That with David Cornsweet, who plays the new Superman, and he couldn't, I don't know if you heard it or not, he couldn't figure out if he wanted a cheesesteak or a hoagie, and then he said a hoagie could be a cheesesteak. I'm not a believer in that.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a hot dog's a sandwich. No.
No. People who order cheesesteaks hoagie style, which I guess we get lettuce and tomato and onion, two separate.
You can have it, but that's... It's not the same.
No.
That's ridiculous.
I know. It's a terrible way to start the interview, but I'm glad you're here regardless. And I want to ask you a couple things. Number one, I want to ask you about this new rare earth mineral deal that we have. And I'd like to play a clip for you, Dr. Coates, of your friend, Energy Secretary Chris Wright, on the opening of the first U.S. rare earth mine in more than 70 years. And then putting on, of course, your hat as a former deputy Secretary of Energy as well. Cut 12. Go ahead.
This is America answering the call. We've become too dependent on just simply critical minerals from countries overseas, most of all China. We have these materials here in the United States. We made it hard to permit mines. We made it hard to have industry in our country. And guess what? It left. Under President Trump's leadership, we're bringing it back to the United States, bringing it back right here in Wyoming, where we have two critical things together. Coal, the biggest source of electricity on the planet, and rare earth elements critical to our national security and our economic security. Thrilled to be here on this momentous day.
Dr. Coates, what does that mean for national security, for energy, for all of it?
Yeah, this is an incredible announcement by Secretary Wright. And just for clarity, I was senior advisor to the Secretary of Energy and deputy national security advisor. But both those
I like promoting you every chance I get.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I do.
One day I'm going to say she was the former president of the United States. It's just going to make it easier for me.
I'm not so good at the politics side. But the thing that Chris announced that is so important is that we're going to get back in the mining business. And yes, this is fantastic for Wyoming, a great state. There's a ton of it in Texas. Hopefully we get to talk about Texas a little bit in the president's appearance just now, but there's Round Hill in Texas. And then we have Alaska, the capacity of which is unknown. It's just such a massive, massive resource for us. And so starting this, getting the ball rolling in Wyoming is fantastic. I'm thrilled. The other thing we need, Rich, though, is the processing capability. You can get this stuff off the ground. At this point, you have to ship it to China to be processed because we shut down all our processing facilities because they were too dirty. And so, yes, we're going to have to rebuild them. Yes, they should be as clean as they possibly can be. And we'll do it so much cleaner than China. Well, I can guarantee you that. But that's going to be the next phase of this is, okay, where are we going to put that massive processing center off of beautiful Alaska? Obviously, we don't want to ruin the beauty of Alaska, but there's a lot of space where you could put that kind of facility, and we can have that entire loop here at home.
I love that we're moving forward with this. I love that on Tuesday, our friend Senator McCormick, he says it was Dina's idea, but he's having this energy summit. The president's coming. All these energy leaders are going to be there. I love the direction we're moving, which is not just away from the green energy nonsense, but towards an energy dominance position and an energy exporting position and a self-reliance position, too, that we can stop being so reliant on other countries.
No, it's great. Everybody's going to be coming together out in Pittsburgh. I think there are going to be, from what I've heard, some major announcements about infrastructure for all of us here in Pennsylvania, both to distribute our interstate, I don't know if you call it domestic, energy resources for the people of Pennsylvania, but also to help us export them and to use them for data centers, to use them for processing. I mean, there's so much. We are literally a light bulb. We are a power source. We are an engine for the rest of the country, and it's so critically important. And the other thing here is our friends in Germany just this week managed to announce that they were ending all direct imports of Russian gas into Germany. Three and a half short years after the war started, but that they were massively increasing their imports of natural gas. So I don't know specifically where those flows of gas are going to come, but it's going to take some American gas off the market. We can either be the direct exporter to Germany or backfill from Louisiana and Texas if they're the ones who are exporting across the Atlantic. But that's a huge announcement for Pennsylvania and for what we can expect in terms of demand for our nice, clean natural gas.
Yeah, you know, I was reading Selena Zito's book, and she spends a lot of time talking about what a disastrous political decision it was for the Biden administration to put that liquid natural gas export ban in, not just for Pennsylvania and energy, but the effects of it down, the down effects on agriculture and all these other sectors, too. And to think about how reliant Europe has been on Putin's natural gas as they're giving Ukraine money to fight the war against him, it's just so asinine.
It defies reality, and the president's going to make a major announcement Monday morning about what he's going to do on Russia. And he is sounding as angry as I've ever heard him on what Putin has done, and is friendly towards Zelensky. I mean, he has given Putin every opportunity. He has talked to him. He has been tough on Zelensky. He has offered a direct meeting, and Putin is just keeping on. He doesn't feel pressure right now, but I think the president could take what happened with Germany this week a step further. He could start announcing penalties on folks who are processing Russian product and then selling it into Europe. They call those indirect imports, as, you know, Indian gasoline. If you buy Russian crude as India and then you refine it, you can sell it to the European Union as Indian gasoline. That's too much of that. that has gone on. And the Biden people told the Indians they wanted them to do it to keep energy prices down. So we need to tell the Indians, actually, no, there's a new sheriff in town. You're going to knock that off. And we'll help you in other ways. That's just one example. There are others. But he's going to announce something very serious with Putin, I think, economically. And there's some interesting reporting in the Wall Street Journal 2 or 3 days ago about bad times ahead for the Russian economy. They've been floating along on this so-called wartime economy that's been expanding more than our economy has been. Well, I think the price is coming due on that kind of hypergrowth. And so I don't pretend to be an economist. You're going to have to ask EJ for the details, but this is a crisis potentially brewing for Russia. The president could make it worse, or he can help them out. That's Putin's choice.
You know, as just an aside note, like one of those tree timeline trees, like in Back to the Future. My favorite story of this week is the fact that they are investigating John Brennan and James Comey and James Clapper, too, for their role in this fake Russia collusion nonsense and pushing the Steele dossier and getting that into the president's brief and everything that they did. I mean, what these people did to try to set the president up as some sort of a Russian spy asset, mole. I mean, this was the greatest example of election interference. These people are awful people. They shredded the Constitution. I mean, Brennan, in my opinion, should have been in prison for what he did by breaking into the skiff on Feinstein's committee. But, you know, finally, maybe we'll get some justice here after all this.
Well, I don't think I'm allowed to say the B word on the radio, but karma is a female dog. I say as the proud owner of three of them. This is so long in coming for all of us who had to deal with these people. I was in meetings with Comey at the beginning of the administration. He'd just sit there with a swarmy smile on his face and be so holier than thou and so all knowing. And, you know, such the public servant. And it took the president about 15 minutes to fire him, but that was 15 minutes too long.
Yep.
For him to be around. And for all of them, the degree to which they took the fate of the American people into their hands, because they know better. They know so much better than the rest of us rubes who are, you know, just the little people out here not understanding the subtleties of what they have to deal with. No, I mean, this has to end. And I mean, one thing I would strongly recommend to all of your listeners is John Hudson, who is a reporter for the Washington Post's Twitter feed this afternoon. He is not a sympathizer of the president and has been posting all of these pictures from the State Department as they all get laid off after the Supreme Court supported the president's ability to do that. And they're all posting little signs. Who's this fascism? Women's rights are human rights. Thank you for your service. You made a difference. I mean, they're all still there. These are the people who support the Comeys and the Clappers and the Brennans. And that is starting to get cleaned out, and it is a glorious day.
I'll tell you what. I mean, karma is a bee, and when David Harsanyi, he wrote a piece, too, about how John Brennan should be in prison. I mean, we all forget the spying that these people did on us, the shredding of the Fourth Amendment, the drone strikes, the lying about that. I mean, all of it. We could do a whole show on this. So I'll, because my blood pressure is getting up now. I really hate these people. I hate to say I hate them. But let's talk about Texas real fast. You were so kind to introduce me to your friend, Senator Ted Cruz at the Heritage Foundation, when you hosted me to do my show a couple weeks ago, and thank you for that. It was really nice to chat with him, and I heard his comments today at Texas. I mean, it's a heartbreaking situation, but, you know, I got to give the president a tremendous amount of credit, just like he went to East Palestine after the train derailment, and Joe Biden did not. The president being down there, it matters.
It does, and seeing them all together, because I've known Chip Roy 20 years, and Chip was actually Ted's first chief of staff and hired me. Oh, yeah. And so
wow.
He hired me to work for Governor Perry first and in 2012. And this is the way back.
Can you give me some of those psychedelics from Governor Perry? I'd love to try some of those.
Well, I actually know a lot about that because I know the Trail Brothers. So, yes, he's very passionate about using those for our veterans. But me, the knowing Chip and Ted as well as I do, and having worked so closely with them for so many years, and they both have had their very personal differences with the president, make no mistake about it. But they see those American patriots come together today, you know, and all of us as parents of daughters who've gone to camp, you just... It just tears at you. And to see the country come together, see the people's Texas come together, it's great. And I know it gave the community a huge amount of comfort to have the president come today, the first lady come, and to hear their expressions of support and to feel like their stories matter. So very much like East Palestine.
Yeah, and it does matter, and it matters that he was there. It really does. It means so much to those people, and you could tell. Well, my friend, I don't want to end on a sour note, so I will tell you, I saw Superman. It's not woke. It's not a hidden pro-illegal immigration message or anything like that. It's a fun summer blockbuster movie, and the Philadelphia skyline's in it, so, you know, what can I say? So, you know.
Well, we can all use a little Superman. We could use a little Philly baseball. We've got great pitching coming up this weekend. Hopefully take at least 2 out of 3 from those Padres out there. And then we'll have the All-Star break next week, which I hate. I think it's terrible. It's called the void. But
yeah, because we have so much free time on our hands. So it's like, you know, how are we going to fill it, right? I mean, if we don't have baseball.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, the baseball is what you relax with. It's wonderful. And you know, the fact that Trey Turner's not an All-Star is ridiculous. You know, the fact that Wills isn't starting the game is just a travesty. So I'm going to be taking to Twitter to make my views heard.
Now, I just want to ask Matt and Justin, was Dr. Coates more passionate about her disdain for Brennan, Comey, and Clapper, or Trey Turner not?
Easily the All-Star break.
She's not wrong.
In the same category.
All right, my friend, this was great. Let's talk next week. I'll be at Senator McCormick's event on Tuesday doing the show live from there. So would love to have you if you have some time. And let's definitely catch up then. Have a great weekend, okay?
Sounds like a plan. Take care.
Dr. Victoria Coates, everybody. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
She's the best. I love interviewing. I can talk to her for hours. I swear. It's never enough time. It really is never, ever enough time. That's the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VeneriaDental.com. 2 locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Before I get to our final hour, I want to let you know you can book your next office bachelorette or private party at Bob's Little Sports Shop in Glassboro, New Jersey. Bob's offers both men and women trained instructors, private and closed events that can host up to 30 people, or you book a smaller group, 10 or less, during business hours and have your own instructor for some shooting range fun. Just call Bob's for pricing and details. Of course, no alcohol or drugs permitted on premises, duh. Bob's also offers private and group lessons on introduction to firearms, firearm shooting, cleaning classes. Let Bob's be your go-to place for all things firearms. They're my go-to place for all things firearms. I love Bob's Little Sports Shop. And Bob's instructors are certified NRA range safety officers. Firearms ID cards are not required for anyone attending events. No previous experience is necessary. And Bob's also hosts women and co-ed shooting events throughout the year for new shooters or anyone interested in learning about proper firearm ownership. So find out more about Bob's by going to bobslittlesportshop.com. They are my go-to store. I love the people at Bob's. I love the selection of firearms, the training, the range, the classes, the events, all of it. Bobslittlesportshop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.